You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've got something a bit special this morning for you now. I had a chat to Micaiah McCraven, who is a Chicago-based musician. He's a jazz man. He calls himself a beat scientist, and he's put out some pretty incredible albums in the last few years exploring contemporary jazz, and it's been pretty cool to be able to chat to him about a very awesome project that he's worked on. It's Gil Scott Heron's We're New Again. So this is a reworking to mark the 10-year anniversary of his final album, and it's pretty awesome. We've played a lot of it up on BFM. It's made it onto the playlist a few times. It's, I think, selling really well. I know that lots of record stores have had to restock it already for good reason. So we're going to have a listen to the conversation I had with Micaiah all the way from Chicago now.
I want to make this a special tribute to a family that contradicts the concepts, heard the rules but wouldn't accept, and women folk raised me and I was full grown before I knew I came from a broken home.
I just thought I'd start by asking you, you're a Chicago-based musician. Gil Scott Heron was also from Chicago. What is your relationship to his music?
Well, Gil Scott Heron to me was always this kind of, just kind of among the legendary musicians of kind of the Black American music tradition that, you know, I grew up hearing in the household, along with like John Coltrane and Love Supreme and P-Funk and non-American music like Fela and Afrobeat. And so Scottish music was kind of being played around the house, and I was familiar with him. And I remember coming back to his music in college and, you know, not realizing this thing that I've heard, the Revolution Will Not Be Televised, being like who that was, and that was actually that same musician. And so, you know, those are my earliest memories of Gil's of music.
Well, it's quite interesting because a lot of people, I think, do go straight to The Revolution Will Not Be Televised when they think of Gil Scott Heron. But it's not necessarily the way you've framed this reimagining. You've kind of gone for perhaps more of the personal politics that he was dealing with throughout his life. I'm really interested by how you've started the record with Special Tribute, Broken Home Part 1, and then you pepper his Broken Home poem throughout the whole record. Could you talk a little bit about why you decided to frame the project like this?
Well, I would argue that I didn't really frame the project like that, that he did, and that the project kind of had already been kind of presented with some of this framing in the source material. Of his words were very poignant and really resonated with me when he was dealing with personal issues, and how often you know the voices of the activist or the artist or the people that you see on television are people too, yeah, I found that really, really, really strong in the record, in its original rendition, and even the opening track is coming from the opening track off of the original record. I just kind of spread that piece into a couple more sections to kind of spread it along the course of the whole album, to kind of like just kind of bring that narrative home, and I like the record to kind of play in a way like I listen start to finish in a kind of cinematic way or something like that, you know, like listening to a story.
Absolutely. I found it really moving as well how he refers to the women in his life, his mother and his grandmother, as being the people who raised him and made him the man he is as well. I found that like a very intensely moving part of the project as it stood 10 years ago, and I liked the way you brought that, you know, back in throughout this reimagining. What were some of the ideas, I guess, in this record that you kept touching on when you were thinking about how you were reworking this?
Well, there's a few things that one was, you know, he talks about going back home, and New York is killing me. He says, born in Chicago. He wants to go back to Tennessee. So there was this kind of down home kind of thing that was, and bringing it back home, coming back around, that kept on coming. And I really liked how, you know, we think of Gil Scott-Heron as the godfather of hip hop.
Mm.
But often he was referred to himself as a bluesologist, and his music and things that he did were so rooted in the blues. So I really wanted to kind of touch on some down home blues sounds, and also a lot of the music was a blues. You had Me and the Devil was a blues. I'll Take Care of You is essentially like a 1-4-5 blues type form, and so on. Talking to Richard Russell, the original producer of the record, you know, we were talking about roots and family and my father and mother, who are musicians, and my dad, who worked with people kind of around Gil's circles. And Richard said, well, it was great to have your dad be part of this record. And so, you know, I got to thinking, and the spirit of kind of remixing and reimagining, coming back home, I started to sample some of my father's early records, which included my mother playing flute, and use those as some of the inspirations around reimagining some of this material.
I guess that's maybe bringing in your own sort of context of home as well into this project.
Absolutely, and that was another way for me to kind of bring myself into it and connect with just kind of the subject matter, and also dealing with you know, ideas of recontextualization and being new again and bringing things full circle.
I found that this has always been quite an interesting and a sort of a complicated work of Gil Scott-Heron's, because it came after quite a turbulent period of time. He obviously struggled with addiction, and he spent some time on Rikers Island. And then this was his last record he made, and it has got this kind of reflective quality to it. He's obviously thinking about a lot of things that have gone on in his life and where he's at and how he's feeling. How did you feel approaching that part of him as an artist and a musician? Was it something you were thinking about often, or did it feel kind of secondary to the music and the poetry itself?
Well, I think it's just part of the man and his life. And so when he's being reflective, you're dealing with, you know, where he's been and where he's going.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it was definitely part of the thought and thinking of him and thinking, you know, of that. But and really, ultimately, me, what I wanted to do was you know, support his voice and support the words and bring a new sound and approach and light to it. So, you know, I think it's incredible how the sound can bring out a variety of different complexities in of emotion, and so that was an interesting challenge, and you know, and to be faced with, and it was interesting, you know. In some ways, you know, Gil, you know, he said this was Richard's record in an interview. He said this, and one thing he said in this, I feel, rings very true for me as well, is I says, not all the dreams you appear in are your own.
Mm. I love that quote. I think it's such an interesting way of thinking about collaboration as well.
And thinking about, you know, in this life, sometimes you don't know where you'll end up or what you'll be working on. Mm-hmm. And it's not always just your vision, you know, the way these things work.
A really interesting point as well, because this isn't the first time that this project's been reimagined. Obviously, Jamie XX reimagined it in the year following the release as well. How have you thought about your work in this lineage, I guess, of rethinking and reimagining the work of somebody as iconic as Skill?
Well, you know, I've long kind of wanted to and have been working in sampling and reworking ideas, whether they be my own or me and my collaborators, or sampling my parents' work, which I've been experimenting for a while, or sampling material that I don't really have the right to do anything professionally with, but just as part of my artistic study, you know, because I think that I've been fascinated by sampling. I was inspired by it as a way that I've kind of guided into music production in general. And so, you know, this has long been a type of thing that I've wanted to do or be involved in, you know. So when I got the call, it was very exciting, you know. I definitely feel like with the legacy of somebody like Gil, there was a lot of added weight to the particular record and just to how powerful of an artist Gil was and is today still, and how meaningful he is to a lot of people, you know. So I felt that weight and responsibility to like really try to give everything I could to do it justice, but doing stuff like this is definitely something I've thought about or I'm excited about. I think he'll be remembered for his most iconic work, and just as an innovator and somebody who spoke truth to power and who was a provocative and insightful, inspiring artist, you know, and with maybe with this record, you know, we can bring, you know, the entirety of that man together in a way that we can also see how, you know, important it is to care for all of us and everybody who's out here too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, his legacy will really kind of ride in that, and that's how I think he'll greatly be remembered.
Do you think music still can be an important political tool as well?
Absolutely. I mean, it never has not been. I don't believe, you know. I mean, you know, Fairlight said music is the weapon of the future. And I think in many ways, you know, I think that's true. I mean, I think often when people, they're tired looking at towards their politicians or their leaders or whatever, and we're looking for answers, or we're looking for hope, or we're looking for something to just console our sorrow or whatever, you know, we turn to music, we turn to art, we turn to things that give us other sense of identity and being and community and sense, and that doesn't necessarily speak to us with a literal action of what to do, but can speak to us, you know, in an abstract way, you know, giving us communication and bonding that often the literal word has trouble to communicate. And so I definitely think music is a powerful tool for change, for bringing people together, and for inspiring people. And, you know, whether it's used as a means to get away, you know, or as a means to speak your message, you know, I think it's a powerful tool in the world and a great force. And so I hope that the work that I do, you know, can have some meaning and have some impact in positive ways, you know, while trying to maintain a, you know, a sustainable career in the arts.
Long ago, the clock washed midnight away, bringing the dawn. Bringing the dawn, bringing the dawn. Oh God, I must be dreaming. Time to get up again and time to start up again. Pulling on my socks now.
Where did the night go?
Should have been asleep when I was sitting there drinking beer and trying to start another letter to you. Don't know how many times I didn't write again last night. Should have been asleep when I turned the stack of records over and over so I wouldn't be up by myself. Where did the night go? Should go to sleep now and say,
yeah, f*** it out of me.
Because I spend it all on unlined paper and can't get past. Dear baby, how are you? Brush my teeth and shave. Look outside. Sky is dark. Think it may rain. Where did you? God, I must be dreaming. Sky is dark. Think it may rain. Sky is dark. Oh God, I must be dreaming. Sky is dark. Think it may rain. Sky is dark. Oh God, I must be dreaming. Should have been asleep when I turned the stack of records over and over and over.
This is Gil Scott here and Micaiah McCraven with Where Did the Night Go? You were just listening to a conversation I had with Micaiah McCraven all the way from Chicago just a couple of days ago. Really, really interesting to talk to him about this project, reworking Gil Scott Heron's final album, I'm New Here. The album is called We're New Again, a reimagining by Micaiah McCraven. The tracks that we were listening to during that interview were Special Tribute, Broken Home Part 1, I'll Take Care of You, New York Is Killing Me, The Crutch, and I'm New Here.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.